Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. We hope you become a regular viewer each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. It is our hope and our prayer that you will be enlightened by the things that we say and that you might read and follow along in your Bible, so that we can give you a better understanding of God's Word. We also have a website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com, has many valuable resources, including these radio programs. Our TV programs are also out there, and a host of other Bible-related material. We cordially invite you to look and examine it and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and to establish a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. We have been looking at a series that we began a few weeks ago on the subject of sin. And we are looking at sin and the nature of man. And we concluded last time to looking at the body of man is flesh and blood, and that is contrary to some other religious teaching. Next, we want to understand that man's creation and man's existence is by the creation of God, not by the chance of evolution of the species. On the sixth day, God created man and woman, man from the dust and woman from the rib of Adam. Let's read some scripture. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves and lives on the earth." We can also read, beginning in chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And then we read in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, "And the Lord said to God, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, comparable to him.' Out of the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he brought into and made a woman, and he brought her unto the man." And so we can see in these passages that God created male and female, man and woman, and from the dust of the ground and from the rib of Adam. God made all forms of life, including man, capable of reproducing after its own kind. We read that in Genesis 1:11, verse 12, and verse 21 through 25. Everything reproduced after its own kind. He rested on the seventh day, according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And God created all things at the beginning. It is a fundamental and proper human conduct and proper to understand that that's the beginning of the human race. According to the general theology of evolution, life came by chance from non-life, from animals, from plants, and man from animals. Man is nothing more than a higher form of animal life. Since this is true, he can act like one, and often he does. What is the result of such reasoning? Well, a philosophy of self before others, barnyard morality, and might makes right in the survival of the fittest. Every man is a law unto himself. Right and wrong, in an absolute sense, are replaced by evolving concepts, which are always relative, which result in radically different but equally valid lifestyles. Godless chaos is the result. If you don't believe that, just read Romans chapter 1. And we'll do that for just a moment, and you can see that this is exactly where we're at in this, in our world, and especially in our country, because man has been left to his own devices. In Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what is, may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to their uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." You see, godless chaos was the result. Man became a law unto himself. He just did what felt right, and it's relative to change according to the whims and fancies of men. And you can see this picture every day in our daily newspaper, on the radio, on the television news, that men just act like they have no control over their actions, their senses, and their morality. Such is not the way that God created the world. Yes, God created the world and everything in it, including the human race. Man's place. What is man's place in God's great scheme of things? Man can know his place in the world and utilize the creation around him for his good, contrary to such Eastern religions as Hindu and Buddhism. God ordained man to have dominion over the earth. We just read it in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Understanding God's order in the universe is essential to man finding his proper place in that order and then properly utilizing it in the creation. One must distinguish ourselves from God and the rest of his creation. Hinduism has some 330 million gods, and Buddhism has no personal god at all, but both tend towards pantheism. That's a belief in worship of all gods. Do not clearly distinguish an ultimate being from an ordinary existence of all things. God is not a personal being separate from the universe, but is something of a force, or a ground of our being, as they call it, shared in the nature of all the universe. The line between the Creator and the Creator is blurred. All things are God, and God is in all things. Blending and blurring divinity, man, and the universe breaks the mainspring of human activity. Instead of striving to subdue God's creation, to harvest his blessings ordained by God, man feels such actions challenges and disturbs the divine essence found in the things around him. Thus, he cannot kill the sacred cow or destroy God's insects. Leaving things as they are, he strives to blend and balance divinity within himself and within nature. As Romans 1 verse 22 says, they profess to be wise, but they become fools. What is man's responsibility in this great scheme of things? Man is responsible to God, contrary to all concepts of fate or determinism. Since man bears the image of God, he has a mind which is to learn and understand the will of God. God is an intelligent being, communicates with man as an intelligent being through the medium of words. In Genesis 2, 16 and 17, he did that with Adam and Eve. He told them that they could eat of every tree of the garden that they lived in, that he gave them as a home, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, they were not to eat of that tree, for in the day they ate of it, they would surely die. You see, God gave them a law, but he also gave them consequences if they disobeyed. And it was in a very plain, straightforward, and understandable way. Man has a moral capacity, a willpower, a conscience, which is equipped to allow him to choose whether to do that which is right or to reject and rebel and to do that which is wrong. God appeals for man to do right and announces punishment for the wrong. Satan appeals for man to do wrong and denies the penalty, as he did to Eve in Genesis chapter 3. He told her that she would not die, but if she ate of the tree and disobeyed God, that she would become like God and know good from evil. Again, he misled her, he deceived her, and he hid the penalty. Both God and Satan recognize man's freedom to choose and will not choose for them. God votes for right, Satan for the wrong. Man has the deciding vote. He determines which way he will go, to the right or to the left. Man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 teaches that truth. For let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Adam and Eve made their choice, and they made their own choice. Their rebellious actions fit the definition of sin. Sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3, verse 4. They transgressed the law, they paid the price. Motivated by worldly desires for mankind, he often falls short of God's glory. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3, 23. Why? Because they have to? No, because they choose to. What is the outcome? Try to hide from God? Why? Guilt and shame. That's what Adam and Eve tried to do. God calls for them, called them to account for their actions in Genesis 3, 8 through 13, and all three of them were punished, the serpent, the man, and the woman. Why? Because they all violated God's law. Man becomes a moral coward when sin enters the picture and when he has to give an account for his actions. Animals have no shame. They are not called to account. How can man be just a higher form of an animal? Man is accountable and must answer for his actions. Ezekiel 18 and 4 teaches that truth. Concepts of fate or determinism try to excuse man from answering to God for his sins. Fate says there is some inescapable law or force which compels man to act in the way he does. Some ancient religions taught that the gods along with man and the entire universe are subject to the rule of fate. Matter and flesh are inherently evil, according to many different theories, including Calvinism. The North African Bishop Augustine, in 354 and 430, Adam was created with a will having the freedom to choose right and wrong. His will was corrupted and his freedom lost when he sinned. All men inherit this corrupted or fallen nature, which predisposes man to commit sin. He believed that the guilt of Adam passed on to all posterity at birth. Man does not become a sinner because he sins. He sins because he is born a sinner. Catholicism entered the controversy in Augustine's day. By 1537, at the Council of Trent, the doctrine of original sin was affirmed and its consequences by stating man was changed in body and soul for the worse when Adam sinned. Such thinking is unscriptural, unbiblical, unfathomable, and nowhere taught in the Bible. Man is a sinner because he chooses to sin. He's a sin because he chooses the wrong instead of the right. By choice, not by design, not because he was made to do it, and not because the devil made him do it, but because he chose to do it. We hope you'll tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue looking at sin and the nature of man. Understanding the nature of man gives us a better understanding of this thing called sin and how to avoid it. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next Lord's Day. Have a blessed day.